I brought out this message sometimes back during our prophetic conference in Zaria. And the Lord said it to me to say to the people this way, that you are not actually barren. You thought you were barren, but you're not barren. Using the story of Anna. You see, when God is set to school you to produce what heaven actually reckons with, something that is better from eternity and that will last till eternity, when God is set to program you and school you for such, He schools you irrespective of what you feel about it. And many times, we are too busy looking at our needs, our personal needs, looking at our personal comfort, that we cannot even read the prophetic ensign of the things that are happening to our lives and understand that God is wrapping something that is beyond our personal lives. And that was exactly what I saw happening to the woman Anna in the scripture, as she was tagged barren, as she went through pressure. You see, many times God responds to revival by first of all putting us into a corner to pray for it. Many times God does not just come to us just because He feels like coming. He will always come to us in response to our prayers. So, a woman was put into a tight corner and she was called barren in the scriptures. First Samuel. She was put into a tight corner and she was called barren. And God allowed her to face vexation, to face all manner of criticisms, face intense pressure. And God put her into that corner until she said a prayer to God with a covenant that was going to birth Samuel. I came to tell somebody here tonight that your story is not the case of barrenness. Your story is not the case of barrenness. Your story is not the case of barrenness. Stop interpreting some of those incidences as mere incidences, like men. Do you understand? She thought it was barrenness. As a matter of fact, they've called her barren. And God allowed the pressure to come so much, like God's servant was saying yesterday, to a point where even her shepherd thought that she was drunk. Her shepherd was against her. Somebody say, praise God. But God put her in a tight corner until she asked for what God's plan was. Immediately she asked for what God's plan was, God said, yes, I've been waiting for you to pray this prayer all this while. God had to allow that pressure to school her, to fine-tune her mind to the agenda of God for Israel. There was a prophet that was to come up to birth the agenda of God for a long period in Israel. And there are certain covenants that child must cut, but that child couldn't have known that early enough. So, even before he was born, his mother already gave him to a covenant. I dare to say, if only she knew that God was reserving her womb to birth something prophetic, she would have prayed that prayer from day one and she may never have been barren. I'm telling you, as someone who has not just read that thing in scripture, I'm telling you as one who has been there before. I've told you here my story. How we got married, and for the first year, we were asking for a child. Just because we felt that we needed a child like every other person needs a child. Listen to me. That's the reason why God is still preserving some of you. That's why He's still preserving your womb. He wants you to see beyond yourself. Because this kingdom stuff is not about you, it's about Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about you. You are crying that, God, I need this job. You are saying, God, I need this car. You are saying, God, I need this admission. But God is looking beyond an admission. He's looking at packaging one of His own to send to a region. And so He waits for you until you say, God, if ever you give me this admission, the first thing I'm going to do in that school is I'm going to do so, 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 so. And He said, yes, I've been waiting for you. And then He brings it. As at the time when we had a child, listen to me, before then we have courted for 5 years and we prayed intensely and fasted and prayed against certain things that we've seen in the line. So when we started praying, we were praying at someone looking for a child. God, you must give us a child. I told my wife, I said, if God didn't answer 5 years of prayer, you won't answer this one that we are praying now. So it's not the prayer now. There's an alignment. God allows certain things you are going through to push you to that point where you begin to say what heaven is saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? He pushes you to that corner, allows you to go through that corner. Two things that I said I want to show you. I found a pattern in the school of the spirit. This pattern, you know, God's prophet began to say yesterday, you find out that almost everything that you see in the normal school today exists in the school of the spirit. Almost everything. Lectures go on in the school of the spirit. Except that, you know, it's a study I took some times back. I find out that the lecture time in the school of the spirit is not like that in the physical. This one, the time is not, there's no particular timetable. You don't see the timetable. My syllabus is different from your syllabus. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the school of the spirit. It's a school of the spirit. So there may not be specific venue that all of you converge in Makurdi now, I'll begin to train prophets or I'll begin to train people. No. His dealing may be with you in Boko. Another person is going through the same thing in Lagos. Another person in Zaria going through the same thing. The same syllabus, but applied differently. But the products come out the same. Do you understand? Oh my. You need the understanding of these things. Because sometimes the spirit has jingled the bell that it's time for a change of lesson. And some of you are still with the old syllabus. You are still in the old classroom. Lord, help me to know when you jingle the bell for my change of lesson. Oh, it's a good prayer. God, help me to know when I need to take the next step. God, help me to know when the last friend you gave to me is expired and I need another person to take me to the throne. God, help me to know, to identify my Jonathan, who is to link me up to the throne. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the school of the spirit, God sends you people part time, at times as syllables in your life. God sends men to your life as gates that you need to pass through to enter into the land. May you not miss that man. Ah, I pray for you. May you not miss that man. Sometimes, these men that God sends as gates, some of them are not even believers. Some of them are the people in your office that pressurize you. Because God knows by all means that the anointing that is coming upon your life cannot stand jealousy. He knows that the anointing coming upon your life cannot stand hatred. So He allows somebody to put you under pressure and kill every jealousy in your life. Because the next level of your life cannot stand hatred. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some of you under the sound of my voice that you are still trying to believe God for daily bread. But God is trying to feed a nation through you. And you don't even understand the reason why your pocket is constantly dry. He's trying to get you to the place of understanding kingdom principles of wealth. That money in your pocket does not actually belong to you. That money in your pocket is beyond just going to Mr. Biggs and taking a meal. Just to understand that money in your pocket, actually God is waiting for you to say, God, what do we do with this one? I got my first car as an inheritance from my father, and the Lord said, you will not drive that car for one day, give it out. And I said, God, this, the day I made up my mind and I said, God, I gave it, this thing I'm telling you about took months after I said, God, I give it out. And I sent my brother a text, because I'm not the first son. I sent him a text. I said, this is what God is saying. I'm giving out the car. I went to preach in Abuja. After some 2-3 months thereabout, and another car came free of charge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, it took me that level of experience with God to know that there is no car. There, even if it's a Hummer, I dare to say, there is no car that He can't collect from me. There is nothing that I have that He didn't give me. Everything I have, before I had it, somebody else had it. Do you understand? And there's nothing you want to give Him. You are not the first person who will give Him. It took me that level of understanding. Ah. Some of you need to get God into your finance. Listen, I'm not talking about the issue of tithing here. If you are still struggling with that aspect, you are still far. You have not enrolled. You've not written spiritual jam. Do you understand? I'm talking about asking the Lord, God, you blessed me with my first 500,000. What do we do with this? He will kill everything that cannot survive the glory. Because God is tired of casualties. He's tired of men who will sit in that position like God's prophet was saying, and then they turn around and we are wondering whether you were the one we voted in. God is sick and tired of those men. He's bringing me tested and trusted men. I said some time ago that, listen, God has stopped anointing people's head. He anoints their character now. That's the reason why God will never allow. You wonder why every compound you pack to, somebody is there to be a thorn in your flesh. You've tried every compound. Listen to the Spirit. Enroll in the school of the Spirit. There's something that perhaps God is pursuing to kill, and you are still looking for a house that nobody will persecute you. You are still looking for a job that nobody will put you under pressure. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are wondering the reason why you are in the same premises with a witch or a wizard. Maybe there is still an anointing to check them out that you have not used in your life. So you are praying that God deliver me from this witch, when God is saying, I sent you here to unseat this one. Four things that I know that exist in that syllabus. Four things. Matthew 26:26. As I sit down. Matthew 26:26. Apostle just preached the same thing with apostles yesterday. They said the same thing I'm telling you. So I'm just giving you a charge where we plan to bring your servant up. It's the same thing they said yesterday. It's a personal dealing. What I'm telling you now, I didn't come to Makurdi this time around. You've seen me sit. I came on vacation. I didn't come. I came to be schooled by God. Okay? I didn't come here to preach. So I'm just sharing with you one of the things that God, one of his dealings with me. You know the story. But if we can just speak at that for the sake of time. Matthew 26:26. If you're there, read it. Matthew 26:26. Are you there? If anybody's there, please read for me. As they were eating, Jesus took bread. Somebody say he took bread. Somebody say he took bread. Number one, he took bread. Number two, yes. Number two, he blessed the bread. Somebody say he blessed it. He blessed it. Okay, read on. He broke it. Number three, he broke the bread. Are you following? Good. Read on. And then he gave it. He gave it. He took the bread. He what? He blessed it. And then he broke it. And then he gave it to men. Go to Matthew 14. And then verse 19. Let's pick up the same thing there. I pray that you see this pattern. It's a spiritual pattern. It exists in everybody's life who has dared to enroll in the school of the Spirit. You are in one of these stages right now as we speak. It's either you are coming out of the other one to go into the... And the cycle continues throughout your lifetime as long as you are enrolled in the school of the Spirit. Yes? Matthew 14:19. Anybody there? He commanded the multitude to sit down. Stop. I want you to know, first of all, that the scenario that we read in Matthew 26:26 was that of the Last Supper. So, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. These are two different incidences. And then, watch what happens. He did what? He took them and the two fishes, looking up to heaven. He blessed. Did you see that again? He took it. He blessed it, yes. And he gave. He blessed. He took. He blessed. He broke. And then what? He gave. Somebody say he took. He took. He blessed. He broke. He gave. He took. He blessed. He broke. He gave. He took. He blessed. He broke. He gave. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me constantly until I come back. He was trying to remind us of something. If you enroll in the school of the Spirit, these four things keep happening to you constantly. God is always in the business of taking men. He takes you out of your zone of comfort. He takes you out, picks you out from your mentality, from your way of thinking. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when you hear the word take, it's not like God is just saying, hey, oh yeah, come, follow me. Sometimes he takes you by a persecution. Oh my, if you don't understand, ask the man called Joseph. He was taken away from his brothers. He was taken away from his siblings. He was taken away from where he was used to. Taken away from his mentality about how to do things. He was taken. And He was taken down to a place where he was sold. He kept going. I keep saying many times that the man Joseph must have hated the letter P. He was taken from Potiphar. He went to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to prison, and all the P's. But ladies and gentlemen, after he was taken from his brothers and was sold out in Egypt, he became something called blessed. Somebody say blessed. He became blessed. He became blessed. And then he was enjoying the palace. And all of a sudden, the next lesson appeared. Pah! He was broken. Taken to the prison. And there the one who had a lot of people under him from the palace now started taking orders from perhaps the same people. He found himself in prison. Broken. And when God was through with him there, God gave him to men as a blessing. You don't understand what I'm saying? Check your life. I can go on and on and on and show you more examples in the scriptures that God is always taking men. Took David from the backside of the desert. Took him, taught him how to love his own. Took him, taught him how to guide the people to be a true priest and shepherd over Israel. Took David. Then all of a sudden he blessed him. When he blessed him, he found himself in the palace playing for the king. It was a blessing. And all of a sudden, God saw that you are going to be dealing with these people that were once called stiff-necked. There are some things I need to produce in you. The love for the people. Shepherding them the way I should have. And then God allowed a breaking to happen. Pow! Ladies and gentlemen, the breaking that we go through is determined by the things that you hold precious in your life beyond God. For some of you, if God puts $1 million into your hand right now, he may need to struggle with you to get the tithe. What more of the offering? So he needs to break you. To get you to the school of understanding spiritual money. Not just naira and dollars. To understand how to deal with God's money. And so he passes you through some times of need. I don't know about you, but I've gone through that school before. I know what to do with God's money. Because I've been there. When you have a need, and God says, look at the needs of my people, I want you to meet it with the last 1,000 naira in your hand. Blessed. Broke them. And then he gave them to men. Every man who passes through the school of the Spirit, and they are given to men, they are men who don't disappoint God. These things were lacking. Saul did not allow God to do this in his life. He skipped the syllabus of the Spirit. So it was easy for him to take what belongs to God and say he wants to do a sacrifice with it. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. You are in one of these stages right now. If you find yourself being blessed, you better check out all those things in your life that is poking itself and challenging God. Because very soon, God is going to put a hand on it and will break them. But if you are lying to break it, he's going to present you. For some of you, the reason why you've gone through relationships and relationships and relationships is because he needs to take out some things from your life. You can't afford to be like your mother. You can't afford to have a broken home like your grandfather. So he ensures that you do not give your heart to any man. So he allows them to break it and break it until you discover that you don't need to give your heart to any man. That you put your heart in the hands of God and love a man. So if he intends to break your heart, let him know that the heart is already broken. Oh. How many of you are there? I don't know where you are. If you have been blessed, watch. The next lesson is coming soon. If you think he has given you to men and you think that's the end of the syllabus, wait until you enter another season, another level. The period, the lesson will start again. He will take you from your zone of comfort, put you in another level, and then bless you. And ladies and gentlemen, do you know the reason why the blessing comes before the breaking? Do you know the reason? The blessing comes before the breaking because if he breaks you without blessing you, you'll be shattered. That's the reason why some of us can go through hell and high waters and we are still here. That's the reason why what you went through, another person went through it and committed suicide. And you are wondering, you think it's normal. Ladies and gentlemen, He blessed us. That's the reason why we can stand the trial. He blessed us is the reason why we could stand the period of lack of money and we didn't steal. He blessed us is the reason why, like Moses saw in the burning bush, the bush was burning, yet the bush was not consumed. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our parable. Being burned by the fires of life, but we are only being purified. We are not being consumed. It's because we are blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. He laid hands on me. He blessed me. That's the reason why the troubles of ministry have not kicked me out. It's not because I'm smarter than those who have gone ahead of me. Because I've seen people who are even stronger than I am, losing out of the race. But ladies and gentlemen, we are still here because we are blessed. It's not because I even passed all the tests set for me. It's not because I even attained up to the bragging he bragged about me. Sometimes I gave him a headache and yet he was still patient with me. But all the same, he insisted that I was going to pass the test. So he repeated the test in my life. I should have given up on my life. I should have given up on my wife. I should have given up on my finances. But ladies and gentlemen, through it all, I'm still here because He blessed me. He blessed me. So when next you pass through the next trouble, remember that I'm blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. The word blessing means empowered to succeed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. He said, my cord is dry, yet I'm here. I'm doing well. I've been through some tough times. It's because I'm blessed. The same thing that killed my grandfather, killed my father, killed some of my brothers, but somehow he stopped the plague before it got to me. It's not because I'm smarter, it's because I'm blessed. It's because I'm blessed. It looks as if I'm seeing the symptoms of the same thing, but ladies and gentlemen, I can tell the devil face to face, you can't take hold of this one because I'm blessed. Rise up on your feet. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. He won't let me go through the fire just like that. He blesses me. He ensures that before I go through the fire, I am blessed. So that when I get into the fire, the only thing that happens to me is that the fire only takes off all the impurities from my life. It's because I'm blessed. Other people went through what you went through. And I tell you, some of them committed suicide. They threw some people out of school the way they threw you out of school. You have courage enough to go and start again. The reason is because you are blessed. You are blessed. It doesn't look like that. Don't let men tempt you or make you a fool to think that the interpretation of blessing is when you have 5 liters of cars or when you have a congregation of 5,000. Ladies and gentlemen, those things are not the blessing. The blessing many times cannot even be seen. It's the supernatural hand of God upon your life that forbids that even if you are broken, you cannot be shattered. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I don't have enough money in my pocket yet, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Don't have the next school fees, but I'm blessed. I don't even know how the next meal is coming, but I'm blessed. The devil stole my brother, but I'm blessed. Ah, he thought it's going to end there, but I'm blessed. I'm coming back stronger because he blessed me. Because he blessed me. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. 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 I'd like you to tighten your seatbelt. God's servant started the teaching, which he's going to continue this evening. And I tell you the truth, you need to hear it. It has shifted me from one level to another level.